Saturday morning. Good morning. How are you? It is Trina Mara. I was just saying to Paul Bradley off air there, he's going to regret the fact that I now have his mobile phone number. Paul, you are a chiropractor, and there's always a case when somebody hurts their back or there's something wrong with their neck. Everyone goes, does anybody know somebody? Does anyone have a number? Well, exactly. I have one now. So you are from chiropractics, and I love the way you've spelt this. C-H-I-R-O-P-R-A-T-I-X. So very easy to remember, and very cool as well. Paul, a lot of us have back pain and neck pain at the moment, myself included. And I'm sure it has got to be from sitting at the desk longer than ever before, working from home. And I'm guilty. I put my hands up. No breaks or anything like that. Is that what everyone's doing? Yeah,
that's exactly what everybody's doing at the minute. So we have four clinics at the moment. So we've got the one in White Marion, one in Galway, and then two in the Midlands, one in Carrick and Shannon, one in Longford. And across the board, we just got some studies done, some research done there, just more or less showing the number of people now that are working from home. And I suppose whenever you take into consideration the furniture, when you take into consideration the position that people sit at, and I'm sure desk setups and everything, and I suppose I'm sure I've heard from the patient base coming in that realistically the desk setups are just not ideally what they would have at work as well. So posture goes to the wayside.
Because I guess when you're in work, you've got quite a large desk and you've got the proper office chair. Whereas I'd say a good 9-10 months of working from home, I was at the kitchen table sitting on a kitchen chair as well. So a kitchen chair is not great.
I wouldn't say it's ideal for working all day at a desk, for sure.
What's the difference, though? Tell me what is the difference? My husband kept saying to me, you need an office chair. What is the difference between an office chair and a normal one?
So a lot of the office chairs, if they're full height, then they'll actually have a headrest on it, and they'll have a curvature for the lower part of the back, so it has a lumbar support as well. Plus, usually they can go up and down a bit, so it allows you to be able to be at eye level with the screen whenever you're looking at it as well. Whereas the kitchen chair is not—it's not able to be moved at all. So it's just usually one solid structure that's in one position. Unless you're very super fancy and have a fantastic kitchen chairs as well at home. But typically the office chair is just that wee bit more able to be moved. You can adjust your height, and it typically has more supports with it as well.
Yeah, I think as well when you're sitting at the kitchen, I mean, you're only supposed to use a kitchen chair for a few minutes having your meal, and then that's it, really. 100%. You're not supposed to be hanging out in it for 12 hours a day. Are you finding too that people aren't taking breaks? Because I don't know what it is. It's like as if when you work from home, you're trying to prove to your boss that you're working hard at home and you're not sitting back dossing, and more hours are being put in.
That's what people have been saying across the board. Like, a lot of people have been talking about, one, that they feel that they're working more hours. They're starting earlier because the computer is just there as soon as they come down the stairs. But they're also finishing later as well because, I suppose, with restrictions, there's not very much else to do too. So some people have been describing, saying that they have been happier to work more hours. But some people then saying that they weren't aware they were working as many hours as what they had been until they sat back and went, hold on a second, I've been sitting here for 10 hours and my shift is meant to be ending after 8. So we find more people sitting for longer in certain positions that they shouldn't be sitting in. And again, as you said, a few people that want to effectively prove that they are working as well, they're putting in more hours and more hours, so they're clocking off later. Yeah. So it's definitely affecting people's lifestyle. But then from our perspective, then that's people sitting even longer than they would typically sit as well in a bad position. So we're getting more people with back pain and neck pain then starting to flare off as well because of it.
Because I'd say, like, when you're in the office, you're popping out to the shop to get a coffee, and you might go make a cup of tea with your pals, and you're kind of moving around a bit more. The other thing as well, not everybody has the luxury of having a spare room where they can set up a desk and all that kind of thing.
Totally.
And some people are, they're either squeezed into a bedroom at the bottom of their own bed, not a lot of space to move around. And some people are even doing their work on a laptop without a desk at all.
100%. And those people that are working a laptop, the main advice I'd usually give them is to definitely go out and purchase a wireless keyboard mouse for sure, because at least then the screen can be detached from the keyboard and from the mouse, so at least then they can move the screen up so it's at a decent height. But whenever you're just using a laptop, sure, your head has to completely flex forward, you curve your shoulders forward, and this starts to put pressure through your neck, your mid-back, and then your lower back as well. And I've even heard from patients, some people saying, some of them are even working from bed, that's the other part of it too, so they lift the laptop straight away, throw it onto their knee, and then just work straight away just from the bed too. So you can imagine then that position's not ideal for somebody's neck as well.
Oh no, not at all. Yeah. So what position should the computer be in terms of your line of vision? How far up should it be?
So ideally, directly with your line of sight. So, and this is the misconception, I think, with people too. You say direct view your line of sight, and then people are looking at the very, very top of the computer screen. But really, the midpoint of this computer screen should be directly in line with your eyes. So either being able to, and that's what we talked about with that office chair, being able to move it up or down so that you are directly in line with the screen. Or even if you don't have that, then prop the screen up using a couple of books or something like that, so that the computer screen, the middle point of the computer screen, is directly at eye level with it then.
Is your employer supposed to supply you with the chair to work from at home? Do they have to do that, or is it worth even asking?
This is what I'm not even 100% sure with at the moment there, because some employers, we work with people who are in large corporate environments and then people who are in smaller environments as well. But in the bigger environments, the corporations seem to be supplying people with chairs. And in the the smaller environment, some people will only have to use their own furniture. And realistically, I suppose what I would suggest is that people ask their employers if they're able to supply them with better chairs or office chairs or desks to be able to work from home, so that it's better for them. That would be the main thing. There doesn't seem to be anything written into legislation yet that needs to happen.
Yeah. Would you have to spend a good bit of money on a decent chair?
Well, you see, we did an article there a couple of weeks ago on The Independent, and it was really all about desks and chairs and what was the best things to purchase. And I'm always somebody who'll tend to look for the best value, or VFM, as I call it, the value for money. And I think there was a very good chair that is called a Marcus, and it's in IKEA, and it's €150. So, I mean, it's a decent enough investment, but at the same time, like, they're fairly long lasting. So if you spend €150 on that, this chair has got a neck support, it's got a low back support, it is able to go up and down, and it can move around as well because it's got wheels on it. So something along those lines, to me, I think value for money wise, I would typically go for the IKEA base on it. But you can spend up to €1,500 on a chair
as well.
So, like, I mean, you think it would take off at that that price, but you can. Yeah, there's so many different options out there now. I always usually say start with the lowest and then work your way up to see what you find is most comfortable, because at least then you're not wasting the money as well.
Jeez, Paul, I'd be expecting the chair to do all my work and everything for €1,500.
Magic.
Yeah, I think I might be sitting in an IKEA chair actually at the moment. I'm just trying to have a look. Yeah, I think it is. It is an IKEA one. What is the difference between a chiropractor and a physiotherapist?
So chiropractors, and this is in this country, there's no legislation for chiropractic in this country, and it's one of the few countries in Europe where there's no legislation. And for such a progressive country, you would think that we would be legislated, but I suppose one of the points of our business is to try and effectively bring more awareness to the profession as well, because chiropractors who work for me study from between 4 and 6 years in a full-time degree before getting qualified, and then practice after that. So a similar length of time to what a doctor studies here in Ireland. So chiropractors focus mostly on manipulating or adjusting joints and spinal position and joint position, which takes pressure off spinal nerves. And the spinal nerves, you see, go to the rest of the body. So somebody can have referred pain from their back that refers into their hands or causes pins and needles or tingling numbness. Or even, for an example, you know, at nighttime when you lie on your arm, you wake up in the morning, the arm is completely dead and then has pins and needles and tingling onto it. That's because your neck's at a certain position throughout the night, so it causes pressure on the nerve. So chiropractors effectively will assess the neck, or assess the position of the spine, see what's not in proper position, and then re-manipulate it or manipulate it into proper position with that. Yeah. Typically, physiotherapists in Ireland, I suppose the medical physiotherapist or the physiotherapist who works as part of the HSE typically works within the hospital, rehabilitating people and bringing them from, say, not being able to walk to being able to walk again, or post-surgery or cardiac type physiotherapy, where they help removing and dislodging the likes of phlegm from people's lungs. So that's typically your hospital physiotherapist. And then your physiotherapist in private practice will usually focus on muscular work, so muscle technique, muscle release. And we would typically refer for muscle work to physiotherapists from our chiropractic clinics when somebody presents more with muscular complaints rather than a joint complaint.
Right, yeah. And then when people go into you, Paul, is it like on the telly and you crack their back? You go... and then they go, oh, I'm grand now.
Well, in a lot of cases, I suppose one of the things, we've done a small series called On the Bench with some of our patients. It's on our Instagram page. And the biggest thing that the patients do say is that when they get adjusted or they hear the popping sounds on the joint, that they feel that immediate relief because there's pressure on the joint, and then all of a sudden they can move again, so there's less pain. So you do usually feel the popping sounds whenever you do get manually adjusted, but there are a load of different techniques that we're able to use. So if somebody comes in, say, for example, who has osteoporosis, we can't do those heavy manipulations on the person's spine, so we use a tool called an activator, or in some cases we would get some people wanting us to check their babies after birth to make sure that their spinal alignment is good, and then we'll just use a small tool like an activator as well, which is a very low force tool effectively to move the spine because it doesn't need as much pressure through it child, obviously.
Is it very sore now for you to start manipulating people's back?
Sore on me or sore on the people?
On the people,
typically with manipulation and adjustment, you generally don't feel a lot of pain as it's done. It's more the sound, it's more the effect that people feel, or the response that some people is normally that they hear the loud noise. So that's what they feel. With the actual pain, you're generally not painful getting adjusted or manipulated. More the soft tissue work or the muscle tension around the area is the part that's tender. So typically we do a little bit of trigger point work or soft tissue work on those tight areas as well. But the manipulation part is generally pain-free.
I'd say you must get a great kick out of that. It's almost like a beautician bursting a pimple.
That's a brilliant way of putting it.
Beautician bursting a pimple.
Somebody described it as, on the top of a fizzy drink, whenever you take the top off it in the pop, or a champagne bottle. That type of relief is what people would describe it as too.
So
without the alcohol at the end.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, with our posture, my posture, I have to admit, is desperate. And I think I'm getting shorter the older I get, which is probably to do with my posture. And I know sometimes years and years ago when people would be learning how to be models, they'd have to put books on their on the top of their head and all this kind of to walk correctly. How can we get into a better habit, I guess, of walking properly and having good posture?
So I think one of the biggest things is there's nearly a misconception of what perfect posture is as well, because a lot of people think, oh, by standing up straight or just, you know, by looking up to the ceiling, that's going to give them good posture. But there are a couple of, I suppose, basic techniques that I would usually tell people to do, and what you can practice at home to see what perfect posture feels like is standing with your back directly against the wall, seeing how far your shoulders are rounded forward off that wall, and then push your shoulders and your shoulder blades back into the wall without allowing your back to come off the wall. And then the same with your head and your neck. Push the back of your neck down as if it's trying to flatten against the wall, and that will actually bring you into perfect posture. So usually when you're walking around, the first thing I would say to any of either the athletes that come into us or the basic person who's working on a day-to-day job all the time, either working on a desk or somebody else who's working manual labor, it's all the same. Perfect posture should be the same. So typically, I usually just advise to round your shoulders back and let them drop downwards. Look straight up and try and keep a good, straight, maintained position with your head rather than dropping your head forward or looking up to the ceiling. And with your pelvis, you can do a little tilt forward and back. And there's a neutral point whenever you tilt forward and back where you would tend to find most relaxing. So where there's no pressure, there's no tension. And just by doing that, you'll feel effectively where perfect posture is. Now, it's very, very difficult initially now because we've got people using phones, computer screens and everything. So basic head posture has changed from being in a good position to being in a very bad position.
Because the heads are down the whole time looking at text messages as you walk up the street.
100%.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Can you guess that I'm sitting here? I'm sitting here rolling back my shoulders. Can you sense that?
I can feel it. I can feel it Trina, already.
Yeah. And do you find, Paul, that it's more people who have office-based jobs sitting in front of a computer, or the people who do more manual labour that are suffering from neck and back problems?
Well, I'm practicing now for 15 years, and I can say that initially, whenever I started practicing 15 years ago, there was a lot with the boom and the housing boom and everything as well. There was a lot of manual labour workers coming in at that point to the clinics that I was working in. In the past, say, between 5 to 8 years, more jobs have become more office-based. So we now would see more of an influx of people who are more working at computer desks, more so than the manual labourers. Now, obviously, we do still get both in, but I would say the percentage of manual labourers has slightly decreased down in comparison to the number of desk workers coming in at the moment.
Yeah. And are those stand-up desks any use?
Yeah, I would usually put the stand-up desk as, like, we would typically call it in the clinic as the gold standard, because with the stand-up desk, you're standing, you're generally able to move around a wee bit more. Plus, most of the stand-up desks go from a stand-up to a sit-down, so you can actually change your position that you're in throughout the day. And movement is key for any sort of joint complaint or muscular complaint. You have to try and keep moving as much as you can. So usually every 30 to 40 minutes, I typically advise people to set a little alarm on their phone or something like that, so that whenever it goes off, that you just stand up and you move around and then sit back down at your chair again. And that'll take pressure off your spine and off the muscles that are tight at that point. So movement is key. So the stand-up desk is the most ideal desk to have.
Because I think sometimes when people have neck or back pain, they feel, oh, I can't go for a walk or I can't do that because I'll just end up in more pain. But really, that's probably the most important thing to do.
100%. I always say move it or lose it. It's kind of the phrase we put in the clinic here. And I think it's just typically if you don't move around, you're not using the muscles. Plus, if you have a joint complaint, joints are usually very, very stiff whenever they give pain. So you want to try and keep moving and keep them mobile so that it stops the pain from reoccurring. And it's one of the main things we would always advise in clinic. Once the pain that the person is suffering from starts to dissipate, we start to give them rehabilitation exercises so that it doesn't keep reoccurring. Mm. So the main thing I would always suggest is just to try and move still as much as you possibly can, or as much as your pain allows you to be able to move. Unless obviously there is something severe like a fracture or something like that, then you'd be advised to rest it up, of course.
I always remember, even now, when I was a child, and I'm talking probably like junior infants in school, age 4 or 5, mm-hmm. and we do PE, and the teacher used to always get the kids to do like a crab, you know, the crab kind of thing that you do in gymnastics. And my mother used to be freaking out, going, she can't be doing that, she has a bad back. And almost psychologically at that age started thinking to myself, I would have a bad back. I think she was afraid of me hurting my back doing that. And now my daughter, who's 3, is constantly wanting to do all the gymnastics and all that kind of thing. Is that okay for children, or should we be more wary of them hurting their back doing that kind of thing?
No, I would typically be obviously under supervision, but I would typically advise kids especially to start to get them into moving around as much as possible and doing certain positions and postures as much as possible, because as they grow up and as they get older, those joints and those muscles will start to stiffen more. So if they're already in a habit of doing these things, then eventually they should be able to keep maintaining doing them. And in the long term, it'll be better for their flexibility.
See, I knew it. I knew it. Well, listen, Paul, it's been great catching up. Give us a plug there. Tell me about your business, where you are and how we can contact you.
Perfect. So we have the 4 clinics at the moment. So we have a clinic there in Mount Marion, we have a clinic there in Carrick and Shannon, one in Longford and one in Galway in the city centre as well. The business is called Chiropractic. That's with an X, as you said at the start, at the end of it. And people can visit the website either on www.chiropractics.ie, or else they can visit our Instagram and Facebook pages at chiropractics HQ, so that's just for headquarters. And we just have a load of content, a load of information on the businesses there on it. And we do a couple of fun things, so as I say, with the on the bench and getting to know some of our patients and seeing some of the athletes and some of the, I suppose, the A-list athletes that are coming in here, Olympians and Paralympians and sports people too. So we try to just keep connected as much as possible. Yeah.
Oh,
so
God.
If anybody wants to get in contact, they can.
They'd put us to shame, wouldn't they, all these athletes?
Oh,
I'm sitting here thinking I can't go for a walk. Listen, you're very good. Thanks so much, Paul. And all the info is there. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, but if anybody is suffering from back pain or neck pain at the moment, some tips there on how you might be able to alleviate the pain. Thanks so much, Paul. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.